People say, oh, why aren't you coming to this market, or why don't you come deliver down, to this little boutique in the city? And it's like, well, we want to feed our neighborhood first and foremost.
Welcome to Thrive in the Future podcast, positive solutions to help you thrive. Homesteading, gardening, community, side hustles, and building skills. At Grow Nut Trees, I still have elderberry cuttings. Hurry before they get out of dormancy. I also have comfrey cuttings and crowns, and now I have pecan seedlings and some red mulberry seedlings. That's at grownuttrees.com. Did you know that nasturtiums are a trap plant for aphids? And basil can improve the growth and flavor of peppers and tomatoes if planted close as a companion plant. Check out those and other tips on my new site, All Garden Advice. That's where you have gardening ideas and tips to help you out. That's allgardenadvice.com. Okay, welcome back to Thrive in the Future. This week, I have Scott, the Little Pine Farmer on Twitter, back with me again. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
You bet. So you were on about a year ago, and you've been having a lot of adventures since then. You're in Colorado, and I think you got like a foot and a half of snow just last week in the middle of March, right?
Yeah, March is usually the biggest storms for us. March, maybe April. So
Really?
we could definitely have another one coming. Our frost-free season is 90 days and not frost free. It could freeze or hail at any moment during those 90 days. So it's all about covering things and getting the
Oh,
greenhouse
yeah.
done and stuff like that.
That's
But
pretty
yeah,
cool.
it's been great. And another good winter is hopefully winding up, and we're very excited for spring to get here already.
Yeah, so what elevation are you at again?
We're at 8,500 feet.
Wow.
Yeah,
Yeah,
we're
so you've
pretty.
got like a June frost. Last frost date, right?
Yeah. We usually start planting the first week of June, or get things outside. The stuff that goes in the ground might go in, like the last week of April or so, like the potatoes and carrot seeds and whatever.
So yeah, you've
Yeah.
got all kinds of side hustles, regular hustles, whatever going on this year that you've developed. It's been pretty exciting to watch.
Yeah, the biggest thing is the bakery. My girlfriend Mel launched that last year as her new career. She was in, finance world for 20 years, and finally had enough and bought a really killer bread oven and started taking her hobby to the next level, and it's been going great. Just this morning, we had our very first day out on the highway. We are supporting the animal shelter out there. We wish we could support them by getting like six more dogs, but the county only lets us have three of our own. So we are vending in front of their place one morning a week now, and donating like 20% of the total sales to them.
Cool.
And I think it's going to work out really well. This morning, without much info out to the world, we did all right. And next week we'll have all the school kids back. They're on spring break. That the parking lot we're in is school bus pickup, so we'll have a couple of dozen moms dropping kids off as we're setting our table up there. So that'll be great. And we're doing some fundraisers for them. They have a big fundraiser dinner coming up, so we're donating some sourdough rolls for their big spaghetti dinner. We're very excited about the new relationship, giving some free bread coupons to people who adopt animals, to get our name out there into the neighborhood a little more. People say, oh, why aren't you coming to this market, or why don't you come deliver down, to this little boutique in the city? And it's like, well, we want to feed our neighborhood first and foremost. I don't want to. The animal shelter is less than a mile away. We could walk there easily. It's just across the intersection. And the hyper local thing is just so important to us. The overarching goal is to stay home, produce value, and have people bring us money.
Yeah, that's
So
awesome.
that's what we're going for.
Yeah, that's the focus really is instead of consuming so much producing on your own land and stuff.
And I think we're getting to a really good place. Another thing we've done since we've talked is launched the community compost program. We had a wonderful community member donate some money to get that off the ground, and I was able to find some really nice screw top gasket buckets on Craigslist, and I built a bear box for bucket returns, and people can just come and drop their full bucket and pick up a clean one whenever they need to. And we only have 8 or 10 families on board yet, and we've only gotten a couple of buckets back, but I'm hoping to be up to 3 or 4 dozen families by summer anyway, by June,
That's
and
cool. Are you
hopefully get
taking
some.
go ahead, sorry.
I was just saying, as I take care of it and sort it and sandwich it with the wood chips and whatnot, I'll be pulling chicken food, maybe pig food. We haven't figured out if pigs are going to be able to happen this year, but definitely by next year. So it's all right. We got the birds, we got chickens, and a bunch more turkeys coming, and
Wow.
hopefully combing through that compost program by hand will yield a pretty good addition to their diet.
Well, that's pretty cool. So you're taking discards from folks too, to for the compost?
Mostly just kitchen scraps and stuff. It's, it only takes a couple of minutes to deal with a stack of buckets if I keep the wood chips ready where I'm stacking it all. Just dump it out with some gloves on, comb through, pick out the good stuff, and then cap it with some more wood chips so the bears don't try and tear my fences down getting to it. Fortunately, we don't have very high predator pressure, I think, because we're so close to the highway. A lot of neighbors just a little bit farther off the highway and the intersection here have a lot more bears than we do.
And didn't you have a roadside stand you're building as well?
I guess we've got that up in since we talked last as well. It's just right here in front of the house on the neighborhood street. And we just recently launched, basically up until a couple of weeks ago, we were doing pre-orders only for the bakery. We bake 3 days a week. They could get their order in by like noon the day before. We're using hotplate.com right now as our online kind of menu platform. And it's pretty good, especially for free service. I mean, they take their 5% or whatever, but it was, zero barrier to entry, and it was still a small enough company that you can get the creators on the phone whenever you have an issue,
That's
which
cool.
is very nice. And so now we're open and word is getting out, and people are just starting to stop by on Saturdays. I've made some signs to get out on the, closest bigger roads, and we're really optimistic. I think it's gonna quickly overtake our other hustle, which is dog sitting for some friends and neighbors, which is also going well, but we'd rather be focusing on, bakery and farm. Sometimes the dogs can be a lot of work, walking and scooping poop and making sure everybody's not fighting. And
How do you handle that?
I just, fortunately, they mostly tire each other out. We've gotten to the point where we'll really only accept an animal if they're cool, like if they're good with other dogs. So that's cut down on a lot of the work, just being able to be more selective in our clients. And now, like, we don't even really try to find new people anymore. We're just kind of riding it out with the friends we have, and with the goal of kind of having the bakery replace that income by this summer.
Cool.
And
That's
I think it
awesome.
will. I think it'll. I think it's going to go gangbusters. Like, people are we're starting to get like our core group of fans, and they know what they like, and they're always buying extra to take to their neighbors. And yeah, it's nice. It's great just to have the house smelling like bread 3 days a week. I love it.
Yeah, I like your pictures you have on Twitter because you have some really unique sourdough stuff.
Yeah, we didn't want to do just the kind of standard loaf and a wheat loaf. And it seems like most of the variety in sourdough micro bakers up here is just like putting different stuff in the same dough. It's like, oh, let's put some cheese and jalapenos in it or whatever. But the lady of Little Pine here is much more interested in like classic old world styles and, maybe some new stuff that we can come up with that we like. We made these sourdough pecan sandy shortbread cookies that are just to die for. Like, we sold out of them today. Everybody loves them. I love them. I'm going to get fat on my own supply, hopefully. I still need to. Never did gain the winter weight I was looking for. So it's been a chilly winter, but maybe now that we're cranking out cookies constantly, I'll gain some weight.
Well, yeah, but now it'll be working outside time, right?
Yep.
So how do you do like fruit trees and stuff in with that kind of frost pressure?
I'm trying. I planted 10 last year. 6 or 7 of them, I'm pretty confident, are still alive. They are allegedly zone 3 tolerant. It's mostly like a few apples and a couple of plums and a sour cherry. So we'll see how those do. I think long term, I think the move is going to be to have a big like orchard high tunnel, running down a big length of the property and doing trees and tree fruits and shrub fruits in there. Just so they don't, so they have the season extension of the high tunnel and the hail protection. And, that way I don't have to do like poles and nets around every individual tree to be ready for hail. So yeah, my orchard ambitions are definitely on the back burner. I think that's going to be the best way to go. Unfortunately, we'll see how these zone 3 trees do. The nursery I got them from, I was not very impressed. I think they got themselves in over their heads, and it felt like our order was sitting there a long time without them letting us know it was there. So like a couple of shrubs that already died.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a bummer. It's just so hard to get like nursery items and chicks and stuff up here.
Right.
Just because it's such a harsh environment. And like, we could order chicks basically any time of the year and they could freeze to death on their way getting to us.
Yeah.
It's, just really high mortality rates when I'm trying to buy from the regular hatcheries and whatnot. So we're looking hard for people doing things locally. And that's the goal with us too, is, I want to be selling fruit trees and shrubs and native perennials and all that stuff, so that my neighbors don't have to go to some chain nursery in Denver or Home Depot or something to get things that might not, last the extra 3,000 feet back up the mountain.
Yeah, it's definitely tricky. Yeah, because one of the things we say is, seeds have a memory, trees have a memory. They remember where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
And if I bring in chestnuts or I bring in anything that came from somewhere else, it just doesn't do well. So I started just growing my own.
Yeah. Let's see. Dogs, compost. We're still on the hunt for the right partner. We've had some great help from some great people. But we are still looking for the right person to invite into the business and onto the homestead. It's kind of hard to get started on the longer term farm projects when we're so focused on, you know, like dogs and bakery are paying the bills. So we got to focus in that department. And
sure.
You know, I get what time I can for the farm stuff, but it's definitely not progressing as quickly as I'd like it to. I know that's going to be an eternal feeling to some extent, no matter how much help I have. But I did kind of set things up to be a 3 or 4 person operation, and I'm reluctant to lop branches off of what I had in mind just yet. I think we'll find the right person this year.
That's good. And so then they just they'll like camp there, or how's that work?
No, I mean, we've got space for a single or a young couple or something. We could set up a pretty sweet situation.
Oh, cool.
For sure. And yeah, just, you know, we're looking for some, not employees or temporary help, but somebody to be a resident and part of the family and part of the businesses, and co-owners, not an employee relationship. So
sure. Wow, that'd be interesting. I'm interested to see how that turns out.
Yeah, me too. Fingers crossed.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, I got in an argument with some folks on Twitter this week. You've been posting a lot lately about, you know, about freedom and your journey down to the jury duty and stuff.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
And I got in an argument with some guy, borderline argument, or it didn't proceed that far, but it was like, there's a war on food. We need to go down like those European farmers and protest down with our tractors down at the state government. And I'm like, dude, you're gonna get shot. Did you not see Killdozer?
Yeah, it's a very fine line. You know, I've chosen the path of, you know, focusing on building new alternatives rather than actively fighting against the behemoth. Part of me thinks that when it comes time to shut down cities with tractors, it's too late.
Yeah.
And, you know, if only they would have spent the last 5 years just building pirate kitchens and doing illegal roadside sales or whatever they have to do. I mean, there's certainly a little exposure to anybody trying to build alternatives as well. We definitely do what we can to stay off the radar and not give the bastards a reason to come and harass us.
Yep.
But I definitely think that I'm of much more benefit to my community working here on the farm than sitting in a holding cell in Denver. So
holding cell. Yeah, exactly. Like,
I appreciate that, and I plan to give some remarks on one or two of the food bills coming up this session.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll be, you know, mostly trying to speak to fellow citizens of the state more than the parasites sitting in front of me who have already made up their minds on how they're going to vote anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what me and my friends say, if we come and, but you know, it'll hopefully make for a good clip I can share online, and you know, just kind of plead with people to ignore the leeches as much as we can, and you know, start working together to build alternatives, to build resilient communities that can make it through any potential trouble heading our way.
Yep. Yeah, in Kansas, we have a legislative session that only lasts from January 20th to the end of May.
Mm.
And it's like most of the times when folks are down there protesting, there's nobody there.
So, who do you think's going to see you? And they don't care anyway because, they already, like you said, they know who they're what they're going to vote for. It's like, did you learn nothing from COVID, folks? I mean, if you ignore them, you most likely can fade into the background and do your thing, and they're not going to be paying attention to you.
Yeah, that's definitely the goal. That's why I owned two Dodge Grand Caravans in my life, is like, just stay off the radar. Like, don't draw attention to yourself. Those things are stealth vehicles, man. Like, if you're going the speed limit in a Dodge Grand Caravan, no cop in the West is going to bat an eye at that, And yeah, that was very valuable in some of the previous activities I got myself into as a guy who likes to grow delicious things in the dirt. I am trying to put myself out there a little more. My kind of philosophy on advocating for change is show, don't tell. And things are finally getting to the point where I can start showing people some stuff. So, like, next month I am speaking at this really cool event we have here in Colorado called Liberty on the Rocks,
Really?
at the Independence Institute in Denver. I was supposed to look up the date before we started chatting. I think it's April 3rd Wednesday of the month, I want to say. But anyway, I'll be speaking about raising livestock at different scales. Up here, one thing that's really been driven home in the couple of years that we've been back in the mountains is the necessity of livestock in harsh environments. If you have any hope of feeding yourself, in Hawaii, it would be very easy to, it was easy, frankly, to feed ourselves because we could grow staple crops 12 months a year and go harvest a pig whenever we wanted. Like, not hunt, harvest, just like drive out of the over to the farm and shoot one through the window. Like, there was definitely no hunting involved. It was pure pest control and harvesting. So a place like that, it's not as easy to feed yourself there as some people think it is. Especially depending on like what soil conditions you have. We didn't have any topsoil because it was brand new earth that had been created like 500 years ago by the volcano. So we had like 2 inches of topsoil and then just porous all the way to the fresh water lands of the island. But up here, it's, yeah, you can grow a few potatoes and a bunch of carrots and other things that'll keep decently well in the short growing season. It is possible. We've pulled off some successful crops. But man, without the eggs and milk from the chickens and goats, it'd be so much harder. And as I've been working with the goats up here, as well as kind of keeping tabs on the I've come up with this new idea. I'm calling it FAMIG, FAMIG, for fully automated management intensive grazing. So the technological development from like high tensile electric fence to like portable electric fences, the nets, the lines, the chargers, all that stuff. That's fantastic for regenerative agriculture. Because now we can go places without this extensive infrastructure and we can target our grazing appropriately and time it perfectly. But anybody who's used those net fences hates them. Like, they're an amazing tool, but they can be so frustrating to use. You have to like do a close crop of the grass on the line that you're setting it up at, so it's not grounding out. And it's a lot of work. And that's okay. Like, it's still worthwhile. It's still better than establishing permanent high tensile fences or whatever. But there's some exciting new tools coming down the line. And I have this vision of robotic grazing.
Really?
I want to, like, I live in a neighborhood of mostly 1 acre lots, and most of the people don't touch their land at all, like all year. They might mow it once or twice, just to keep the fire danger down, but that's about it. It's just pine trees and grass. And so I want to start a neighborhood pasture program, and establish different pastures, you know, a half acre here, a quarter acre there, and be able to take the herd somewhere and leave them there for a nice like 4 hour feeding and bring them back home and, you know, fold that neighbor into a small share of meat and milk or whatever.
Wow.
Obviously I have to figure out, you know, acreage per pound of meat for the year or whatever. But what if we could send Optimus, the humanoid robot, to open up the goats in the morning and walk them half a mile away to a neighbor's house and keep them contained in a geo-fenced area? No actual fences, but Optimus knows the goats are not supposed to move beyond this imaginary line for the next 4 hours. And so maybe him and his robot dog keep them all together. And, you know, even target some invasive weeds while they're waiting for the goats to eat or something. And then bring them home and put them back in their paddock. Like, we're so close to this being a real possibility. And so many in my line of work and who share my lifestyle think I'm just insane to be like cheering on these robots. But dude, if you could do that, like have an automated grazing system that protects not only from predators but also can like pull weeds or spread seeds or do something else while they're out there, like that would be so cool. And you could just go into existing software. Like there's a bunch of these software programs for invisible dog fences where you can just draw on the map like the areas where they're allowed to go and not allowed to go. And then the vibration collars train them to those areas. So all I'm suggesting is really replacing the collar with a robot and basically using the same kind of setup. Where it's like, okay, the Smiths have a half acre right here. And oh, by the way, make sure the goats don't touch this planting up against the house. And boom, it's all like executed for you. And oh, guess what? The robot's going to bring them back to that spot in 45 days for one more grazing this year. I think it could be a real game changer. You know, the issue of scaling regenerative agriculture is often used as the biggest argument against it. It's like, oh, we can't scale that up enough because the magic word efficiency rules our entire lives and our food systems. It's like, yes, it will take more man hours to do this, but we can take more nutrition off a given piece of land and leave it in better condition. If we have those extra man hours or robot hours. So everybody's like all worked up about robots taking jobs. It's like, yeah, I've been trying for a year to get a human to come and help me and like share my vision, and nobody's interested. You know, they're all caught up in surviving the collapse of an empire, and I get that.
Oh, yeah. So can you
And
use the can you use the shock collars on goats?
I've done a little bit of research into that. There are some people who've tried it successfully. There are a bunch of people who have tried it and just found that the goats kind of just run through anyway. I,
The goats are on the right through the regular netting too, but, you know.
yeah. Which, is another reason it would be really great to have some higher intelligence out of your electric fence. A fence that walks around and can see what's going on and respond appropriately.
Yeah, even somebody to, even somebody to hang out and do it for.
Yeah. Oh, and don't get me wrong. I would love to do it myself. I would love to take a book and go sit with the goats for 4 hours
Sure.
and do all of this myself, but I gotta pay mortgage and property taxes and like exist in this messed up system. So of course I'd rather do it myself. And I hope that 10 years down the line, things are running smoothly, that I have the option of doing that, of just taking my book in the sunshine and going to hang out for a bit.
Yeah, I like the community pasture idea, and then working them into the share somehow. That's really neat. It's almost like rent a goat, except that it's community based.
Exactly. So there's a few people with really good fences in the neighborhood, who are currently not doing anything behind those fences. So I'm going to approach them first this spring over the next like month or two. And what I would really love, there's two people within spitting distance that not only have fences, but also have like old horse barns and stuff
Really?
that are no longer being used. It used to be a very big like horse neighborhood.
Sure.
All the lots were so small that nobody could really run cattle or anything, but there's all these dirt roads and people would ride their horses around all the time. So there's some good infrastructure in the neighborhood. Some of it is falling into disrepair. So I would also like to kind of get on rescuing. Like there's this one little pole barn and the roof is starting to sag, but most of it's still in pretty good shape. And if I could replace a couple of boards and a couple of pieces of metal on the roof, I think it'd last another 10 years, no problem.
Wow.
So I'm going to be approaching them over the next couple of months and feeling some people out. There's also a 4 acre lot of county land just two properties away. And I plan on grazing that without permission starting as soon as possible, really. It's kind of in rough shape. Like there's a bunch of trees that have never been maintained. It's actually a terrible fire hazard. Every tree has a ton of dead wood right down at the bottom. So when I do that, I'll like take my saw with me and start doing some fire mitigation while the goats are eating down there. And I'll just do it until a stormtrooper with a gun tells me not to.
Got to
It's
be the gray man.
4 acres of food, man. Yeah, that's a good segue back into that topic. Like it's there are things that we can do, like just don't ask permission. And like I put a sign illegally on the side of the highway this morning, but nobody said anything. Nobody stopped and was like, "Hey, actually, you can't have this here. It has to be, another 20 feet away from the blah blah blah." But it was in a safe place that wasn't blocking anybody's line of sight, and so I did it, and nobody stopped me. And we're just trying to figure out what we can do ourselves. We're trying to avoid like advertising dollars in favor of, like, instead of paying $100 for some Instagram ads or whatever, like I could go out with the sandwich board on and pick up some garbage for an hour and probably be seen by more people.
That's awesome.
By more people who matter, like right here in our neighborhood. Which, and that is the thinking that led us to the shelter as well, the animal shelter, because that's going to be phenomenal free advertising that supports a cause we are passionate about. And I think it's going to be a tremendous boost to the business.
Right
So,
next to school, right?
next to the school bus,
Yeah.
the school bus stop. Yeah.
There you go. That's awesome. Exciting stuff.
Yeah, it is. I'm really stoked. I think it's gonna be, it's, you know, we were gonna talk last week, and I had one of those days,
Yep.
and anybody kind of going it on their own and forging their own path, I think is gonna run into these days more often than they'd like. Where everything was just going wrong. We had a leak in the crawl space and had to get a plumber out here. A couple of the dogs were being dicks to each other, like it, and I was just so exhausted from not sleeping well. And all these things just piled up, and it felt like how am I going to do this? But then we had a day like today, you know, where I met a bunch of new people, and I have a lot of faith that this new approach is going to work. And you know, before the afternoon kind of tiredness set in, I was on cloud nine and just really, really stoked about all of it.
That's cool.
So I think, you know, it's important to remember the highs and just kind of keep going through the lows. That's another place livestock really helps me, having all the animals around, because it's like I have to go out at least twice a day to tend to the livestock. Like there's no skipping that.
Right.
And just having like that bare minimum structure in my life, you know, it's like you have to get out of bed, and oh, you have to stay up until all the chickens are in. You can't fall asleep at 4 p.m. and just wake up at 2 a.m., you know, because a fox will get in there and you're gonna lose them all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, we can do it.
That's awesome. Thanks, Scott. How
Yeah, thank
can
you.
folks be how can folk contact you?
Twitter, this is always the best place. That's where I'm most likely to respond quickly. And yeah, and if you're local, you know, if you're in Colorado, if you're on the Front Range somewhere, send me a direct message on Twitter. I'll get you the farm info. You can come out and see the goats and grab some bread. And yeah, I am always excited to. I met this guy on Twitter who lives right up the street from me that I've never
Wow.
met. I haven't met him in real life. Turns out he's a chainsaw like wizard, which I needed in my life. I've got a couple of six saws that he's gonna get going for me, and he sharpens chains at a great rate for the for locals. And
Yeah.
so yeah, just meet your mutuals, man. Like we gotta start doing stuff in the real world and
Absolutely.
not stuff that will get a shot ideally.
Yeah. Face-to-face meetups, I tell you.
Yeah, definitely. That's one thing I'm really trying to push myself to do this year, is to get out to more events. And you know, instead of a protest, like we have this great group on Twitter that gets together and they'll go to dinner, and yeah, they'll have these political lecture meetings as well, but we have a lot of fun too. You know, we'll meet at a bar one night, we're trying to set up a shooting range day together. Just, you know, something Ron Paul said on Tucker the other day, just like find the remnant, you know, find the people who aren't buying the bullshit and have a drink with them and just start talking, and you'll probably figure out something to do together that just might make a difference.
I think that'll be the title of the episode right there. Find the remnant.
Yeah, right on.
That's awesome. Thanks, Scott.
Hey, thank you.
You bet. Hey, if you like this episode, leave us a tip on Venmo or Cash App at Thriving the Future. Or join the Patreon, patreon.com/thrivingthefuture. You get early episodes and you get extras. Thank you. Check out Thriving News. That's where Perpin and I share longer form articles about homesteading, mindset, milpa gardening, food forest, etc. Go check it out at thrivingnews.com.
Thank you for listening to the Thrive in the Future podcast. If you like what you hear, please click that like or subscribe button in your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter @ Thrive in the Fute, and also go to thriveinthefuture.com.